Welcome to the Wickedly Smart Women podcast, featuring stellar conversations with emerging and established wickedly smart women. Thanks for joining us today as we celebrate women who are committed, care deeply, and have the courage to take action and create conscious change all around the world. Now here's your Wickedly Smart host, Angel B. Hartwell.
Welcome to another episode of the Wickedly Smart Women podcast, where we celebrate wickedly smart women and provide our listeners with a wealth of wisdom, along with immediately actionable steps to be smarter, spunkier, and more successful in their impact and their leadership. This is your host, Angel B. Hartwell, and today we welcome our special guest, Jen Drummond. Jen is a mom of seven, successful business owner, and world record holder. As the first woman to climb the second highest summits on each of the seven continents, she now spends her time inspiring others to create a thriving business and lasting legacy of their own. She shares her story and strategies for success through her book, Breakproof: Seven Strategies to Build Resilience and Achieve Your Life Goals, and her Seek Your Summit podcast, programs, and signature talks. Learn more about how she elevates devoted and determined entrepreneurs to go beyond a life of success to a life of significance. Welcome to the show, Jen.
Thank you for having me today.
Oh my God, I am so delighted to have you. You are quite the shero. Seven children. That alone is a shero right there, right?
Yes.
So,
yes.
All right,
Jen. The crazy story about the seven children is that I struggled with fertility issues.
Wow.
So I had years of monthly reminders that my body couldn't do what it was designed to do. And then finally met a doctor that shifted everything for me. And I had embryos, considered them life. And seven children later, here we stand.
Oh my goodness. Did you have seven all at once or
no,
did you?
No.
Thank goodness.
Yep. Yes,
okay. Goodness. All right. Beautiful. Well, congratulations on that. So Jen, let's talk about you. I mean, were you always a high achiever even when you were a small child, or did your passion for creating a really highly visible life, I mean, going to the top of every second highest mountain on, that's high, right? You're highly visible. You're up there. So tell us a little bit about your background.
Yeah, no. So I was definitely a motivated human, even as at a young age. I played sports. I was concerned about my grades. I did well in school, like all that stuff. But I would say before the accident, I was definitely maybe running on a fear tape. A fear of not having enough, a fear of like being able to retire or provide for my family, or, you know, was it enough? Was it enough? Was it enough? I would say after the accident, I learned how to surrender and accept what is and still achieve at a high level. So I think the accident happened for me, not to me. And it really allowed me to breathe deeper and do big things.
Well, we didn't talk about an accident in your bio. So let's talk about that. What accident? What happened? When did it happen? And what were the results of, other than, you know, decoupling from running on the FEAR program?
Yeah. So I was driving home from a nearby town to Park City, Utah, where I live, and I collided with a semi truck. My car ended up going end over end three times and then doing about 10 sideways rolls before it came to a stop in the median. Ambulance came. I went to the hospital. I was released the same day. I got a phone call from the police station a few weeks later, and they said that they've tried to rebuild the accident at least 50 different times and could not build a scenario where I lived, let alone walked away. Hmm. And the irony, I think, of the accident was about 2 months prior to it, I was introduced to that book called The Surrender Experiment by Michael Singer. And I remember reading that book, and up until that point, I always thought surrender was quitting or giving up or not giving it your all. And it was such a negative term for me. And so I journaled and read that book over 2 months until I finally realized that surrender is truly a superpower. And you really have so much more energy and flow when you learn how to surrender. And then this car accident happened, and I watched the semi truck's back end come out into my lane and I couldn't get over in time. So the passenger side got hit. And the second that happened, I remember telling myself the only way I'm going to survive is if I surrender, because I'm not strong enough, fast enough, quick enough, whatever, to outdo this car. And so I put my hand on the steering wheel. I put my head on the headrest and I just let go. I rolled with the car and said, okay, we're going to go another time and another time and another time. And I just remember thinking, oh, isn't that universe a little funny? Where you learn a concept and it's going to test you to make sure, like, really, can you apply this concept to your life? And if you can, like, you get to continue.
Fascinating. Well, it's interesting because I had a friend a long time ago and her partner, one day I said the universe was testing me, and her partner was this very quiet person. Very rarely did she say anything, but when she did, it was like really profound. She said, maybe it's not the universe testing you. Maybe it's the universe giving you an opportunity to make an alternative choice. And so what I'm hearing there is, in your case, you literally were in the most fear-inducing experience you could possibly imagine, right? And
yes,
the choice was to stay with the fear tape or to surrender. So I'd love to have you speak a little bit about where you think the fear tape came from. Was it societal? Was it cultural? Was it familial? Was it gender-based? Like, where do you in your own life have awareness of where that fear tape was installed?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was a combination of all those things that you said. An interesting point in my accident was I was hanging upside down from the car and a guy came running towards the car and he was yelling, are you okay? Are you okay? And I could hear it, but I wasn't really registering that he was talking to me. And then he peeled back the windshield because it was cracked into a million pieces. And when he peeled back the windshield, he looked at me and he goes, are you okay? And I looked at him and I'm like, and my head's thinking, based on his facial expression, I'm not okay. And right now I'm too afraid to look at my body based on what I'm seeing. And so then I closed my eyes and I wiggled my fingers and toes. I said out loud, I can feel my fingers and toes. I can feel my fingers and toes. I'm going to be okay. And I bring that story to life right now because it's a story I come back to on a regular basis. If I'm feeling overwhelmed or exhausted or run down or whatever that is, I close my eyes and shut out the exterior world and connect back to my body. And I'm like, am I okay? Actually, I'm okay. So anything that's being told to me different is a story or a tape or something that I'm playing in my head. And now I can get curious and question it. And so I think a lot of times when we're looking outside of ourselves for validation, we're not always going to get what we desire. But if we can learn how to close that down and look into our authentic selves, we'll have the truth.
Beautiful. Sounds to me also like the accident was, there was a lot of divine intervention that might have happened there as well. So I don't know what your relationship is with divine or the divine intervention. I've had plenty of divine interventions in my own life. I'm curious if that was something that was a moment where you had a spiritual awakening or whether you were already kind of spiritually aware and awake and in communion with the divine.
Yeah, I would say that was my second near-death experience. My other one when I was younger. And it would, like, I think I'm saying this universe, but I have a new way. Okay, like, so understand. At that time, I lost track of that, right? And so then it was maybe not necessarily a spiritual awakening for me, but maybe a spiritual deepening to remind myself that I'm just a vessel to carry out a greater plan. And so to stop getting in the way of my own self and what I'm capable of and what I'm here to do. So I definitely believe there's a higher force that utilizes us to serve one another. And sometimes I just forgot.
Right, right. Well, so after you went through your own personal surrender experiment,
yes.
Let's talk about when you came out in one piece and walked away from that situation. What did you then need to do internally to really anchor in that surrender was key to what happened there?
Yeah. I just started to become an observer. I remember coming home and watching my two kids fight. And before I'd be that person that intervened and be like, stop fighting with your sibling and let's all get along. And I remember watching them fight and looking at it from a perspective of how fascinating it is that I can have two children that have separate opinions, that care so much about the other human that they want them to believe the same thing. And how cool is that, that they're trying to convince each other that the other is right. And I remember watching that whole thing played out. I didn't intervene. I just was a witness. And like later on at night when I was putting the kids to bed, they're like, Mom, you didn't stop our fight. I said, no, I didn't need to. You guys had opinions. You had ways that you're working it out. You were going to figure out what was going to work for you guys. I'm grateful that I'm here to be able to witness.
So interesting. So you became much more of a witness in this process. You became a witness of your own, like what was going on internally. And then from there, you have been cultivating more of a witness presence, I guess is the word that I would say.
Yeah. And maybe just more of a, I mean, I think the universe is funny. I think it has a sense of humor, right? So 2019 became this year of the bucket list. Jen, before the accident was, you know, I kind of stalled out in life, if I had to be honest with you. Mm. And I live that if then, once my kids get to college, then I'll get back into me. But right now, this is the season I'm in. The accident was like, no, you don't get to choose when you die, but you sure get to choose how you live. So you better start living. So 2019 became this year of like, what do I want to experience? Before it was like, what am I going to win at? What am I going to do good at? What am I? And now it was like, I don't care if I win or lose. I just want the experience of these things that life has to offer. And so I started making a master list of things I wanted to do, see, experience, try, visit, whatever. And in 2020, I was turning 40. And so for my 40th birthday, I looked over on my list. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to climb a mountain. Because that's going to be something easier to do when I'm younger than when I'm older. And what a great way to launch this next decade. So I asked some friends that were into mountaineering, if you could climb one mountain in the whole world, what mountain would you climb? They said, Ama de Blom. I had never heard of it. They're like, you know, it's the Paramount Pictures logo. So every single time you go to a movie the rest of your life that's by Paramount, you're going to be like, I climbed that mountain. I'm like, perfect. I'm going to climb Ama de Blom. Well, 2020, if we all recall in the beginning, COVID enters the scene. So now I'm not climbing any mountain. And in fact, I'm a homeschool teacher to seven children because schools all shut down. And so my game plan for 2020 shifted drastically, but even more so because one day one of my kids was struggling with his homework and I'm giving him that pep talk, like, we do hard things. You've got this, buddy. Don't worry. And he looks at me and he goes, if we do hard things, why are you climbing a mountain called I'm a Dumb Blonde instead of a real mountain like Mount Everest? I'm like, honey, it's Ama de Blom, not I'm a Dumb Blonde, but thank you. We'll look at Everest. So he finished his homework. We looked at Everest. He went to bed and I was still looking at Everest. I thought, you know what? Maybe I should climb Everest. If he thinks Everest is the hardest thing in the whole world, I'm going to climb it and show him that whatever our Everest is, we're capable of climbing.
Yeah. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to take a quick break. But when we come back, we're going to find out more about your Everest climb and your wonderful business. But right now, listeners, we could use your help. If you're enjoying this show, please consider joining our community, making a donation at wickedlysmartwomen.com and sharing with your lovely lady friends that might benefit from our content. Help a gal out and let your sisters, mothers, daughters, friends, and colleagues know about the show so that we can serve them too. I want to say a big thank you to all of our listeners who are downloading, rating, and reviewing. We're welcoming thousands and thousands of downloads from all over the world, now up to 118 countries. Yay. We want to shout out this week to our listeners in, I have a feeling that Everest is in Nepal, isn't it? We do have listeners in Nepal. So we will shout out to our listeners in Nepal, in Pakistan, since that's kind of in the neighborhood of Nepal, and Kenya. And we will be right back with Jen Drummond.
The Wickedly Smart Women podcast is brought to you by the Wealthy Life Mentor. Women, are you on the edge knowing that life is calling you to make a change? Are you ready to be part of the evolution of what it means to be a wickedly smart woman, creating your wealthy life by design? A life that is an extraordinary work of art. Angel B. Hartwell, the Wealthy Life Mentor, is hired by women in transition. Women just like you who want to break through to their brilliance, become clear on the value of their wisdom, and embody a beauty-filled, balanced life of shameless self-expression. Discover your wealthy life readiness by taking the quiz at quiz.wealthylifementor.com.
And we are back with Jen Drummond. Before we went to the break, we were talking about how she was looking at Everest. And right now, I want to let you know how you can look at her. You can go to jendrummond.com. It's two N's, and we will have that for you in the show notes. So Jen, J-E-N-N, Drummond, D-R-U-M-M-O-N-D.com. We'll have that for you in the show notes. So Jen, let's talk about what happened next. You're looking at Everest, and then what?
I was looking at Everest. So I hired a coach. My coach is like, yes, I can get you ready, but I need you to buy this book about becoming an uphill athlete. I'm like, okay, perfect. So I get the book, reading through it. And in the front of it, there's a lady who got a Guinness World Record for doing something in the Alps. The random day that my coach called, I was feeling pretty defeated as a homeschool parent. And I told my coach, I'm like, I could have done that. I can do hard things. And if I got a Guinness World Record, my kids would think I'm cool, because I am not cool right now. And they learned how to read on those Guinness World Record books. So that would be amazing. And my coach was like, okay, I'll think of something. And I kind of left it. And then a few weeks later, he calls me back and he's like, Jen, I have the perfect world record for you. I think you should be the first female to climb the 7-second summits. It sounded like a tongue twister. I didn't even know what he was saying. So I'm like, what? He's like, listen, the second highest point on each of the 7 continents is harder than the first 7. It's only been done by one male. So you'd be the first female to do it. And he goes, 7 continents, 7 mountains, 7 children. Sounds like a jackpot. I'm like, it does. I've never slept in a tent before, but let's figure it out. And so that's how it started.
Oh my God. Well, you are pretty fun and pretty amazing that you went for 7 mountains on 7 continents with 7 children back at home. Yeah, that is like, isn't that the slot machine thing? You want to get the 7-7-7. That was a win. Amazing. All right. Well, it's just extraordinary that you have been able to just say, I'm doing it, and you've done it. And so I just really want to celebrate you. And I want our listeners around the world to hear that not only is nothing impossible, but sometimes the obvious, like Mount Everest, like climbing Mount Everest is the obvious. Sometimes the obvious is actually less of a win, shall we say, than the creative, right? Because in your case, it was this decision to do 7 second highest peaks rather than go do Everest. So I love that. So Jen, let's now talk about what inspired you to start your own business, because you've got 7 kids, you've now scaled 7 mountains on 7 continents. Now you've started your own business. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. So I was in college and I did an internship at a furniture company near my school, and I helped employ 200 temporary labor people. And we could not make this chair for office furniture fast enough. So we asked these people to come in on weekends, stay extra hours, do all this kind of stuff. And then Y2K happened. And all of a sudden, I went into the office and they're like, we need to get rid of the 200 people that you've been begging to come in to work every day. And I have no idea to this day why I didn't just quit. I was a college student. Like, who cares? Like, quit and say goodbye and walk on. But no, I stayed and I helped have conversations with these people who cried and said they missed events and didn't do things and blah, 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 and were begging for this job that we couldn't let them have. And I just remember making a promise to myself at that point that I will never work for somebody, because I don't know how not to give it 100%. And if somebody else is responsible for whether I have a job or not, I just couldn't do it because of what I went through. And so I knew I was going to be self-employed or have a company at some point because of that experience.
Yeah, beautiful. Well, so what inspired this particular company? I mean, obviously you wrote the book, you wrote this beautiful book. We can talk about the book as well. What inspired you to write the book? And I'm guessing that the book and the company kind of go together like peanut butter and jelly, right?
Yeah. So kind of two different things. So first of all, I have a company that I own the business, hired myself out of a job that is running payroll for me. I got into climbing. Halfway through my climb, I was encouraged to write a book and to share my experiences from the mountains. And it amazed me when I was climbing the mountains, how similar climbing a mountain is to building a business. And so what I do in the book, Breakproof, 7 Strategies to Build Resilience and Achieve Your Life Goals, is I take you to each mountain and on that experience. And then I extract a lesson from that particular mountain that you will probably encounter if you're building a business or have a big goal in front of you personally. And so then I bring you back and forth to those two environments so that when you hit that obstacle, I knew this was coming. Okay, now I know what to do, or this is normal, or here's something to think about, and how can I continue to go forward and have that resilience to bring your idea to life?
Beautiful. I love it. So in the book writing process, you also have now become an author, which is another, you just keep making all these rites of passage, Jen, which is really wonderful. In the book, which mountain is your favorite, or which lesson is your favorite?
You know, I think the lesson that's my favorite, probably because of the one I need to use the most, is big mountains take big teams. I think a lot of times we set these big goals for ourselves or whatever, and then we're the only one carrying the gear up the mountain, or we're the only one doing the climb. And when you get into big mountain environments, you realize there's a lot of people that are involved to make that mountain safe for me to be able to climb. And it's broken up into pieces so that I can take one day at a time and get to the top. It's not this big sprint that's a marathon type deal. So I go on to that lesson a lot. Anytime I start getting exhausted or I start trying to compromise on my goals, I pause now and say, oh, wait, am I taking on too much? Is there somebody else that can help me? I don't think this means I need to stop. This just means I need help.
Well, I love that idea of pausing too, Jen, because I think that so many visionaries who have big, big ideas, often, you know, wickedly smart women, we're wickedly smart. We think, I've done it myself. I'll out myself. We think, I'm smart enough to do that. I'm smart enough to do that. But the challenge is that we end up burning ourselves out. Yeah. And so how do you know internally, like what's your signal that you need to take a pause?
I get grouchy faster, right? Like, and I think all of us have our own little thing that we realize. I know when at the end of the day, I'm like cleaning out my toothbrush drawer, that means my body's been going and going and going that it doesn't remember how to wind down. And so there's just little things that I'll start noticing about myself. I'm like, oh, I'm cleaning the toothbrush drawer. I need to meditate, or I need to do yoga, or I need to get outdoors, because I need to remind my body that we need momentum in the pause, not just momentum in the build.
Beautiful. And so what I'm hearing there is that you also are really sensitive to what your body requires in order to be thriving. And so the pause is more of a mental pause, it sounds like to me, that gives you the opportunity to care for the body that is actually, you know, producing whatever is getting produced. Am I hearing that correctly?
Yes, most definitely. My body is the one that, you know, like our minds can run a million miles a minute. Our bodies are not designed to go that fast. And so anytime I get out of sync, it's because I'm moving too fast for my body to keep up. And so then it's like, okay, how do I wind this brain down to be able to be in my body and have this body experience?
Beautiful. And I would imagine from all of those climbs, because obviously being outdoors, climbing, it's all body related. I would imagine from all of those climbs that that actually also supported you to become exquisitely more present and what's the word I want? Methodical. Would that be a fair thing to say?
Yeah. You know, it's funny. People go to the mountains sometimes to conquer them, and you can see that personality there, right? And I was to the mountains to experience them and be with them. I feel like the mountains are very feminine in nature. And so just to be able to ask permission to climb. And is this a good time? And I turned around on two of my climbs and had to go back because I didn't feel that the environment was conducive for us to safely summit. And so it's just learning how to tap into that feminine side and understand that feminine energy mixed with the masculine is almost unstoppable.
Mm, beautiful. I love it. Well, we've got about 2 minutes left, Jen. So in the last 2 minutes, if there was something for our Wickedly Smart Women all over the world that you would want them to take away from our time together today, what would it be?
You don't get to choose when you die, but you sure get to choose how you live. So to just allow yourself to connect to that choice and touch base. I know for myself personally, momentum happens easy. So I have to do trigger meditations throughout the day to just center and come back to my core. And so every time I touch a doorknob, that's a cue for me to take 3 deep breaths. And just those 3 deep breaths every time I touch a doorknob just allows me to be more present and not just get ahead of myself. And so for you listening, if you can find a way to do a trigger meditation throughout the day and just connect and be honest of, am I choosing this? This is my choice of how I live in the moments I make.
Mm, beautiful. I love that. So intentional, Jen. I mean, obviously, you have to be present to be able to do the things that you have done. And so I am so grateful for your presence here today on the show. Is there one new goal that you have in front of you that you want to share with us?
So when I set the world record, I made myself promise myself that I wouldn't take on anything else for a year. I think we're very well trained of what's next, what's next, what's next. And I just need practice of what is. So this next year is a year of recovering, recharging, recalibrating my system so that I can go into the next thing with intention and teach my kids that we're not always meant to be on go. This is my winter season for the next year. And then I'll be able to pick something new to get my teeth into, but I haven't done that yet.
I love that. It's very interesting. I have a bunch of clients I'm working with right now. And one of the things that we did is we were on fired up and focused, which is one of the things I offer to my clients who have built things and they need to stay on track to get the momentum and keep the momentum going. And then many of them reached that point where it's like, okay, now we're going to go to rest and digest. It's like I have two different packages that I deal with my ongoing clients. And I've got a lot of people on rest and digest now. So I love that you have the presence of mind and the discipline to give yourself recovery time. So congratulations on your rest and digest year. Thank you so much for being on the show, Jen. Listeners, we love feedback. Please let us know what you think of today's episode. Go right now to wickedlysmartwomen.com to join our community, share your takeaways, ask questions, or submit guest suggestions. Thanks for tuning in. Keep your ears open. And remember, you are a wonderful woman.
Thanks for tuning in, downloading, and listening. Be sure to rate and review Wickedly Smart Women on Apple Podcasts and share with other women who can benefit from today's episode. Wickedly Smart Women is the premier podcast series for informing, activating, and inspiring the leader who carries profound wisdom and knows that now is the time to welcome wealth. We welcome your feedback and guest suggestions and invite you to subscribe to our mailing list to be notified of each new episode at wickedlysmartwomen.com.